every once in a while we get on the singing those songs, and I'll be honest with you, I get in those verses, I'm not sure where I'm at. We might be singing two or three different verses sometimes. Amen. But it all ends up good. It's all about Jesus Christ. Oh, how I love Jesus. Man, I'll tell you. I think we should learn to love Him better. Amen. Every day we should be walking closer to Him. Every day we should be more thankful as He reveals things to us through His Word and by His Spirit. And boy, He's good to us. Saves our soul, seals our soul, feeds our soul. Amen. And He's given us this book, an amazing manna from heaven right here in the King James Bible. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1.
I'm going to read down through here a little bit by the grace of God today. And Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Like I said, the Lord's been good to us. Let's go ahead and, before we let the Word of God deal with our heart, let's pray again. Father, we sure love You. We thank You for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, we are weak and feeble people. And Lord, we need You to show up and change our minds about some things and deal with our heart about some things. And to help us, Lord. Help us to have a good time in Your house today. Help us to leave closer to You and more thankful. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, we'll begin saying, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. That's good to be called, amen, faithful. The faithful in Christ. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of the inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Praise the Lord. And I want to, before we get into the message very far, talk about some things we had looked at in the beginning verses, talking about being chosen in Him from the foundation of the world, talking about being predestinated, talking about some things that can be a little bit confusing. And we are chosen and predestinated. It's talking about elect. We're talking about a corporate election, a corporate choosing, a corporate predestination. Everybody, God from the foundation of the world decided that everybody that called on His Son would be placed in Christ, and everybody that called on His Son would be predestinated to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. He doesn't choose who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. You do. I don't believe John Calvin was lost as a goose when it came to explaining this verse. Because you don't get saved because He looks down on you and says, you're going to get saved and you're going to hell. He doesn't choose you to get saved. He would have His wills that all men to get saved. He's long-suffering and not willing that any should perish. There's no way God that's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, should look down here and say, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, heaven for you and to hell you go. He wouldn't do that. He wants everybody to get saved. Jesus Christ died for the whole world. So that election and that predestination and that choosing, he has chosen in his plan to put anybody that'll trust his son for salvation in Christ and to conform those people into the image of Christ. And one of these days, that transformation, confirmation is going to be done like that. One of these days, you'll be walking down the street. Maybe you're handing out a tract. Maybe we'll be certain in church service today. Maybe we'll be praising his name. Maybe we'll be focused on Jesus Christ, and we'll hear that sound as a trumpet. And then you individually, if you're saved, you'll hear, come up hither, and you'll be out of here. It could happen now. It could happen right now. And look, if you're lost and on your way to hell, you need to get saved because it could happen now. Amen. But this election and this choosing and this predestination is according to your will, not his. His will is that everybody gets saved. You have to make up your mind, hey, I'm going to trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And then all these things apply to you. You're adopted into the family of God. You are placed in Christ. And you are being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. You say, well, I'm not very good at being conformed. Well, God will help you with that. Amen. He'll take you down some rough roads, sometimes in the gravel face first, it seems like. Amen. But sometimes we can be knuckleheads and need that. But he will help you to be more like Christ. Oftentimes it's through suffering. So we can get used to and get able to and become willing to let go of this flesh and trust him. All of us at one time or another are going to come to a point in our life where, as saved people, where we look at this flesh and we look at everything around us and go, there ain't nothing man can do. I'm just going to have to trust God. And that's where he wants us. Amen. But predestination and the calling and all this stuff, don't let anybody abuse that and abuse your mind with a misunderstanding of what that means. He chose this plan from the foundation of the world to anybody that trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior gets in on this. Amen. I don't know, Calvin might have been not a Bible believer, but he is now, amen? Yeah. I hope he was saved, and you know, he might have thought he was special, and God just picked him over some other people, but God chose everybody to be saved, and it's up to you whether you actually get it or not. But I want to talk for just a few minutes today, on into tonight, amen? And I want to talk for a few minutes this morning about being saved, sealed, and sure. Amen. I'm not just saved. I'm sealed. And I'm sure. In verse number 13 it says, In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. That's when you're called out of here. Unto the praise of His glory. If you're here today, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you have realized you're a sinner, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You realize that God has given you that gift, offered you that gift, and the Bible says, if thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And you believe from the heart that you're a sinner, he's a Savior, he died for you, he rose again. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you have done that, you're saved. I'm not just talking about being in church. I'm not talking about being on a church roll. I'm not talking about being dunked in water. I'm not talking about realizing that you're bad and God's good. I'm not talking about thinking Jesus is a good man. Jesus was a prophet. Jesus was it. Jesus paid your sin debt. You realize that. You called out to him. Trust in him and him alone. Not trust in the Catholics or the Methodists or the Baptists or the Presbyterians or the Nazarenes or the what have you. But trust in Jesus Christ. So there's a lot of people out there that's all messed up on this thing and they're trusting their church. Well, you're standing in a group of fallible people, right? Of people that are sinners. There ain't nothing we could collectively do together be good enough to get to heaven. The only thing you can do to get to heaven is call on Jesus Christ. If you've done that, you're saved. I've done that. I'm saved. I'm saved forever. I'm sealed. Look what it says at the end of that. ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You know what the promise is? You trust Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, He's taking you to heaven. He seals you with the Holy Spirit of promise. You are sealed. If you have trusted Christ, your Lord and Savior, you're not only saved, you're saved forever. You know, people, well, Baptists, you know, I don't know about the once saved, always saved stuff. I like it.
Yep.
I'm kind of hooked on it, amen? I don't have a problem with it. If it was crossways with the Bible, I would. But the Bible preaches and teaches that thing. If you get in there and study it out scripture on scripture, in the church age, you get saved, you get sealed, and you can be sure about it. You can be sure about it. These things I've written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, you may know you have eternal life and believe on the name of the Son of God. You don't have to guess.
Yep.
A bunch of religious people out there guessing. They are. They say, well, you Baptist. Hey, look, I don't believe I'm saved for eternity just because I want a license to sin.
Yep.
That's not why I believe I'm saved forever. Matter of fact, knowing I'm saved forever makes me want to serve Him more. If I thought I could lose it, I'd quit. Amen. Say, well, you Baptists believe this, and you no. It's not just the Baptists. Before the Baptist name was ever there, people were believing that.
Right.
You can take the Baptist church history back through the Baptist Adonises, all the way back to the Paul. You can take it to Paul, by the way, not to Catholic Church. You can take it all the way back before that, about 250, 300 years before that, to Paul. But that's not the Baptist name. That's the Baptist beliefs. The real true Baptist beliefs are that Bible is the final authority. I get saved by trusting Jesus Christ and Christ alone, and He seals me. Look, some of the Baptists quit believing that stuff. I'll tell you what, if the Methodists still believe it, then I'll be Methodist with them. But I'm going to leave the Baptists when they leave that book. I'm saved. I'm sealed. And I'm sure about it. And I'm not saying that to be cocky. I'm saying that because you must think you're better. No. Who's the one that thinks they're better? The one that thinks they're earning it and keeping it? I know I couldn't earn it. I know I couldn't keep it. I'm not better. I would like to think that if they think they're working their way to heaven, they'd probably be doing better than I am. Trying to. Think they'd be trying harder. You know what I found over the years, though? Most of the people that believe you can lose it are living like hellions. It's not because they're going to, just because they believe that, they don't start living better. They start giving up. Amen. They give up because the devil gets in their head and says, yeah, you lost it anyway. Even if you can get it back, you lose it again. There are a lot of people out there thinking, well, maybe I can just get right at the end. Well, that's a big gamble, isn't it? But I'm saved, I'm sealed, and I'm sure about it. Ephesians 4:30, it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. We just read about the Holy Spirit of promise. He has promised us, what's John 3:16 say? Eternal life, everlasting life. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting lasts forever. That's why the two words are together. Amen. So, boy, you Baptists think you know everything. No, all I know is Jesus Christ, and that Bible says I'm saved forever. I'm not special. He is. I didn't do anything where He chose, well, you know, that guy down there, boy, he's walking right, he's looking right, he's doing right, he's acting right, I'm going to save him forever. No, He said, look at that dirt ball down there that can't do anything for himself. I'll save him if he'll turn to me, if he'll accept my Son. Amen. And I did that, so I'm saved. And then the Holy Spirit of God moved in me. I'm in Christ. He's in me. I'm sealed. And I'm sure about it because I have a Bible. Most people, when you're looking at the world, probably half the world don't care about the Bible. Matter of fact, they despise it. And now the other half, there's probably the vast majority of that half don't read it. Don't care about it, really. They don't read it. And there's some that don't read it a lot. They'll read a little bit. They don't understand it. And since they don't understand it, they don't know where they're at in salvation. Or sometimes even how to get saved. And if they're going to a church where the preacher ain't telling them how to get saved, how are they going to know? How shall they hear without a preacher? If your neighbors don't know, how shall they hear without a preacher? If the people in Walmart and Kroger don't know, how shall they hear without a preacher? I'm not the only preacher in here. Everybody in here ought to be preaching. Not just with your life, but with your words
with your hands.
Amen. Because you know what the whole world needs? The world's a mess because people aren't saved, sealed, and sure about it. Those that are lost, they're lost. They live like lost people do. Those that are saved think they can lose it. They quit, end up living like lost people do. And those that are, some folks get saved. They know they're sealed. They know some Bible, and they just end up quitting anyway. They're sure, and they're so sure, they just don't care anymore. They'd rather serve the flesh and serve the Lord, and that's a mess. But I'm here to tell you today, I'm saved, sealed, and sure about it. And if you're saved, you're sealed. I just want you to be sure about it. And here's why I want you to be sure about it. I don't want you to quit. I don't want you to quit. I don't want you discouraged. I want you to love the Lord more every day. And if He just saved you and then took it back from you, wouldn't be much chance of growing in love for Him, would there? He saved me. He sealed me. And now I'm sure about it. If you know what the Bible says, you can be sure. Look what it says again in verse 14. Which is, talk about sending the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. That's rapture. Unto the praise of His glory. You know what that earnest is? That's a down payment on your inheritance. God's not going to go back on that. He already gave you a down payment on that. He said He's going to call you out of here and give you, we just sang about it. I got a mansion. Or we didn't sing I got a mansion. We sang about a mansion. I don't remember what song it was. We sang about a mansion. Amen. That's part of your inheritance. You got that because of Jesus Christ, because He's worthy. We're worthy to be burning in flames forever. But because of His worthiness, His righteousness, He has given us an inheritance. He's given us something we don't deserve, and He's already given us a down payment on it. It's the Holy Spirit of God. If you called on Jesus Christ, trust in Him and Him alone, you're saved. Amen. If you haven't, you're lost. If you're in here today and you haven't, and you drew your last breath, you'd split hell wide open. You'd spend an eternity in a lake of fire eventually. He'd pull you out of there for judgment and say, your name's not written in the book, cast you into a lake of fire forever. If you're saved, you're going to stand up there at the judgment seat of Christ. He's going to judge your works, and He's going to say, well, these works, some of them were all right, some of them will come through the fire, some of them won't, but you're still saved. I'm sure about that because I have a Bible. Amen. He's giving you a down payment on your salvation. He was serious about it. That's what they do when they buy a house. You put up some earnest money with the bid so they know you're sure about it. Amen. You know what He did? Oh, He's sure about saving you. And when you called on Him, He gave you the Holy Spirit and said, I'm going to call you out of here one day. And one of these days, boy, this corruptible is going to put on incorruptible. This mortal is going to put on immortal. We're going to be like Him. And we know that because He gave us His Word and the Holy Spirit of promise. I'm saved, I'm sealed, and I'm sure about it because I have a more sure word of prophecy. Amen? I don't have to go to a TV preacher. I don't have to go to a radio preacher. I don't have to go to any other man to find out where I'm at in God's plan. I have a more sure word of prophecy. If Moses himself walked this earth today and he come to me and told me, you need to this, this, and this, and you need to keep that, that, and that, I could say, no, look, I got a book that even though he was a prophet, I've got a more sure word of prophecy. Amen. If Elijah and Moses and Zechariah and Malachi and Malachi, whoever you want to call him, and Malachi and Job, and they all showed up at my house tonight at 7 o'clock and they kicked the Jehovah's Witnesses off the porch, boom, and they show up and they say, look, here's what you got to do to be saved. You got to go get the circumcision. You got this. You got to keep the Sabbath. You got this. You got that. You got the other. I can say, no, wait a minute. I got a more sure word of prophecy. After Pope John, whoever come up to my porch today, and he said, you know what, you got to come to the church, you got to flip your beads, you got to do this, that, and the other, you got to eat the cracker, you got to go to the mass, you got to do this, all this stuff, you got to do all this stuff, and maybe you'll get in. I said, no. I've got a more sure word of prophecy. God already told me directly. Amen. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know what? God gave me a gift. He's not like man. He won't give that back. You know what the Bible says in Romans 11? The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. When He gives you salvation, He ain't taking it back. He isn't taking it back if you're a northerner. He ain't taking it back if you're a southerner. Amen. Southerners? Northerners? I don't know what's going on here. I don't know where the line is, but he's not going to take it back. Wouldn't be much of a Holy Spirit of promise, would it? It'd be a Holy Spirit of doubt. See, there's a spirit of doubt and a spirit of deceit out there, but it's not from God. And you know, if you're not reading your Bible, you're not studying your Bible, you're not learning your Bible, you're not loving your Bible, you're not praying over your Bible, that spirit of doubt and that spirit of deceit will get you messed up. And it's everywhere today. It's everywhere today. Ephesians 2:8-9, for grace that you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. What do we start over again? For by grace you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. Now you've got to overlook that verse to work your way to heaven. So if you're Baptist or Catholic or Pentecostal or whatever, and you're working your way, you miss that verse. Amen. It's right there in the Bible. The Jehovah's Witnesses, they just keep coming around me. I meet them at Walmart, I meet them at Kroger, I meet them everywhere. Lately, they've been all over the place. I think God's trying to get me to grow to be more kind to them, which is difficult sometimes because of me. I get in the way. But they come up to me the other day in Kroger or Walmart? Walmart, first Walmart. And the lady goes, I've been looking at you because you look just like the insurance man over there that works in the insurance office. I thought, man, poor fella. She said, but I guess you're not, though. That's the reason I was looking at you. I said, oh, okay. I said, well, maybe the Lord meant it for good. Here's a tract, invite you to church. And she took it, and she goes, oh, no, we're happy with our religion. And I said, oh, really? She said, yeah, we're Jehovah's Witnesses. And I looked kind of funny. And she goes, you've never heard of us? And I looked, yeah, I've never heard. I said, yeah, I know who you guys are. She goes, you do? And I said, yeah, you guys are ones that don't believe the Bible. She said, oh, no, we believe the Bible. I said, no, you really don't. She goes, no, we do. I said, Acts 20:28 says God purchased the church with his own blood, and Jesus Christ shed God's blood. Jesus Christ is God. She goes, oh, yeah. Her husband goes, no, we don't believe that. She said, oh, yeah. I said, well, you don't believe the Bible then. He goes, we believe the Bible. I said, no, you don't believe the Bible. I just quoted it to you in English. You don't believe it. Amen. Maybe that seems a little harsh, but I've been down this road so many times, them kicking my Savior and saying he's not God, he's not this, he's not that, he's not the other, and they're doing all their supposed good works. And I'll be honest with you, they don't care if you go to hell or not. They've explained hell away. They're just trying to work their way to some kind of a kingdom for themselves. They don't care about you. And the devil don't care about them. He's using them. Amen. They don't understand. I've got a book. I've got a more sure word of prophecy. I don't need the watchtower. I've got the watchman. Amen. I don't need the Book of Mormon. I almost said moron, but I don't need the Book of Mormon. I've got the Bible. I don't need a new version. I got the best one. The only real one. Amen. I don't need a recent translation that made Jesus into just a man. I need the one that brags on him as God, that brags on him as Savior. He is the Savior. Hey, they'll be without excuse. They stand up there. I've got a more sure word of prophecy. I have stood on the porch and talked to them over and over and over and over and over again, and they don't believe that book. Do you? Then you're saved, sealed, you can be sure about it. I'll show you why. Matthew chapter 7 talks about wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. That's most religion. There's all kinds of ways to go to hell. Amen. If you think you're doing a million different things, you're going to get there, you're not going to get there. He also says, straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Narrow is the way. What way? Find what? Find the way. What Jesus Christ say in John 14:6? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. That's the way. If you have went through the way, you're saved, you're sealed, and you can be sure about it. Look at John 10. John 10, we're going to travel through some verses here, Lord willing. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 16 says, and he's talking to the Jews here, he says, another sheep I have, which are not of this fold. He's talking about the fold of Israel, the Jews. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. Talking about the Gentiles. And there shall be one fold, that's the Jew and Gentile in one, and one shepherd, Jesus Christ. He's the head of both in the church age, amen. He's the head of this church, by the way. John chapter 10, you jump down to verse 27. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. What sheep? Both folds. The Jews and Gentiles in Christ. And look what it says. And I give unto them eternal life. That's forever. How do we know it's forever? Because it's eternal. Just like everlasting. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Joshua mentioned it earlier. I'm not holding on to Jesus. He's holding on to me. I didn't come down here and I didn't find out who Jesus was. Jesus is God's Son. And if I could just touch His garment. And now I got a hold of His garment and I'm not letting go of Him. And God's in my hand. That's what religion is. God's in my hand. No. I'm in His hand. How long could you hold God? We can hold you forever. Amen? And He will if you're saved. If you've trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, if you called on Him knowing you're a sinner, knowing He's a Savior, believing He died, was buried, and rose again, and you call on Him and Him alone, trusting Him and Him alone, you're saved, you're sealed, and you can be sure about it. You got a more sure word of prophecy. In the Old Testament, turn to Hebrews chapter 9 while we're talking here. In the Old Testament, it's talking about the blood of bulls and goats. They had to keep doing this thing over and over and over again. Say, well, preacher, you can't get Bible doctrine for the church age out of Hebrews. Oh, you can get some principles out here that will really help you out. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. The blood of bulls and goats was a shadow of things to come. You know what it was pointing toward? The blood of Jesus Christ. Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. That lamb that was shed in the garden to cover up the mess that Adam and Eve made to temporarily get them fixed up, that was a type of Christ. The perfect Lamb of God, the spotless Lamb of God, without spot, without blemish. Hebrews chapter 9, verses, we're not going to read all this, but in verses 1 through 10 it says, then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the shewbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant, overlaid around about with gold, wherein was the gold pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. Well, maybe we'll read all of it. And over it, the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle. See, over and over and over again. Always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. See, there's a big difference right there. The Old Testament priest went in once a year, the holiest of holies, but not without blood as a sacrifice for him and the people. Our high priest, Jesus Christ, the one that was to come, the one that did come, he didn't have to have blood for his own because he's perfect and sinless. He took his blood and paid your sin debt. See, the Old Testament priests, they couldn't do that because they had their own sin. They had their own problems. So does every pastor in this world. So does every priest in this world. So does every pope that's ever been. They have their own problems. They can't get rid of your sins. Jesus Christ can. Matter of fact, He did if you'll accept it. You can be sure about it. The Holy Spirit, this signifying the way into the holiest of all, was not yet made manifest. There's Jesus Christ coming. While as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, Hey, when I got saved, I got up off my knees and I knew I was saved. I knew I was clean. My conscience was right. I've had issues since then, just like you have. But I got saved. I knew I got saved. Amen. Which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. Now look at verses 11 and 12. So all this stuff, all the Old Testament stuff was a figure. It was a type. It was a shadow of things to come. That tabernacle's on this earth. And most of that stuff was a physical representation. A lot of it was something spiritual that's going to happen later on down the road. And some of it has already happened. Amen? Jesus Christ, part of it's already done. Except for calling us out. Amen? In 11 and 12 in Hebrews chapter 9 it says, But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. His blood does not give you temporary salvation. It gives you eternal salvation. Eternal redemption. You are bought eternally with the blood of Jesus Christ. God the Father looked at the blood, bulls and goats and said, Dad, I'll get you by for a while. And then His Son, His sinless Son, died the death you deserve to die, lived the life you couldn't live before that, rose from the grave and takes His blood and offers it. He said, there's the perfect sacrifice, the perfect atonement, the perfect Savior. I will accept that for the entire world. God's own blood. You can be sure about that. It was a type. The Old Testament stuff was a type. It was a picture, the figure. It was a shadow of things to come. This is important. You remember they told the Jewish males they had to be circumcised? They were circumcised the eighth day. Went to the Jewish males. They had to be circumcised. That was a picture of putting off the filthiness of the flesh. Why? Because they were whoring around with other gods. So he did something physical, because they thought physically, to show them what was going to come later. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out all trespasses, past, present, future, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us. There's no law once you're under Christ for salvation, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a shew of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. There, the Seventh-day Adventists have a problem. Because that stuff's done away with for the church-age saint. Well, they have a problem because they're not saved. They have a problem because they think they're going to go to church every Sabbath day and keep the law and maybe make it. And the truth is, the only way you can make it is through the one that could keep the law, Jesus Christ, perfectly. Which are shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Now look, that Old Testament circumcision was a picture of what He's talking about right now. It was a type, it was a shadow of what's happening right now. He says in verse 11, in whom also saved people are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Your flesh is going to go back to the dirt, the worms are going to eat it, your soul, if you're saved, is going to heaven, because God has performed a spiritual operation that it was a type of, it was a picture of, it was a foreshadowing of in the Old Testament. When the Jews got circumcised under the law, the New Testament saint, when you trust the one that kept the law, He does a spiritual operation of circumcision, separates you from your sin debt, past, present, and future. Your flesh can't be saved, but your soul can't get lost. once you trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Hey, I'm saved, I'm sealed, and I'm sure about it. Why? Because I'm special? No, because He's special. And I got a Bible. I've got a more sure word of prophecy. So when they come at the house, or when I see them on the street, or when I watch them walking in with their beads at the other church, or I listen to them saying, you got to keep getting saved, or when they come to you and they tell you, hey, you could lose it, don't listen to them. You got a more sure word of prophecy. Amen. I'm saved because of Jesus Christ, and I called on Him. I'm sealed because of the Holy Spirit of promise. And I'm sure because of the manna from heaven. Right here it is. Most people are talked out of their salvation because they don't feast on the manna from heaven. How in the world could you lose your salvation when God gave it to you eternally? When you're in His hand, He's not in your hand. When He performs that circumcision to separate you from your sin debt, He blotted out the ordinances against you. When you trusted Christ, He applied that to your account. You're not under the law anymore. Right there, Colossians chapter 2, we just read it. Say, well, you Baptists think you will. Once saved, always saved. You think you're something. No, I think I'm nothing and He's everything. And the reason, realizing that I'm nothing and He done everything for me, He's already done it all, gives me some peace that you can't have unless you know you got it. I'm saved, I'm sealed, and I'm sure about it. Are you being cocky? No, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Amen. Oh, them Baptists, I get sick of hearing that. Get rid of your pride and just trust the book. That's what the problem is. The reason the religious folks have a hard time getting saved is they won't get rid of their pride and trust the book. The reason that saved folks have trouble walking with Christ is they won't get rid of their pride and trust the book. The reason some people get shipwrecked and crash and burn and never do anything for the Lord again after they're saved is because they won't get rid of their pride and trust the book. You know what the book says? He'll be there with you through the storm. He'll calm some of them. He'll bring you through the other side. One of these days you're going to hear that trump. He's going to call your name. You're going to be out of here. You're going to be with Him forever. What could the world do or the devil do to you that could undo what God's done for you? Nothing. Nothing. I'm excited because I'm saved. I'm sealed. And I'm sure about it. If you're here today and you never called on Jesus Christ, trusting Him as your Lord and Savior, be sure of this. If you die, you'll die in your sin and you'll burn forever. But if you call on Him, trusting Him and Him alone, you're saved, you'll be sealed, and you can be sure about it. Amen? More sure word of prophecy. Father, we love You and thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank You for the perfect, precious, holy blood of the Lamb slain for the foundation of the world. The Lamb of God has taken away the sin of the world. Oh Lord, open the eyes of the lost so they can see their sins already been taken away if they'll accept it. And Lord, those of us that have accepted it, help us to live in peace and joy of being sealed and being sure of it. Give us a love for You and Your Word, a love for the lost, a love for the fact that You want people to get saved and we should want what You want. Help us to walk with You and be more like You. Bless us through the week. Give everybody safe travels home. We'll love You and praise You and give You all the honor and glory for everything, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.